Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. And our guest today is Sana Nilsson and Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And we are so excited to have Sana on our show today because she is definitely changing the game on coding for kids in the world. So, Sana, I'd love to welcome you to the show today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great honor. We are so excited to be talking about this topic, especially being women investing women and girls and having the impact of technology and coding on girls as well. So I'd first love to start off the conversation talking about your interest in coding and how you got started with that field.
Yeah, exactly. So it was about 2 years ago now when I studied with my two other co-founders, Lovisa and Rosalyn, and we were studying a data-driven program. So it was kind of obvious that we were thrown into the world of code. And that's when we really fully kind of understood the potential of coding. And we were a little bit bummed that we didn't find that out earlier than, you know, being 25. So that's when we realized that at least what we could do is to give that back to kids instead of, you know, just like go about with it and never looking back. So that's when we decided to empower kids, both girls and boys, to be inspired about technology in an early age because we weren't.
Right. And, you know, coding is a whole new frontier. And like you said, it is being discovered more and more these days. So how were you able to explore this field and how easy was it or how difficult was it to get yourself more involved in the coding process?
I started when I first came to get in touch with something about coding was in the very beginning of the early times of social media. So back here in Sweden, we had a few social media sites, and at that time, you actually had to code your own profile. So it was basic kind of HTML and CSS, and that's how you made your profile look cool. So that was my first kind of touch into coding, and I didn't realize how that was actually code at that time because I was like 13, but I thought it was super fun to be able to see something kind of form in front of my eyes, and I Googled a lot of like tutorials and stuff like that to be able to learn more. And from that, it came into kind of the blog things, which was pretty heavy here in Sweden, and, you know, making your own websites and JavaScript and doing forms and stuff like that. And after that, it was when I studied at Hyper Island here in Stockholm, it was more Python and R and more of the advanced programmings to do other stuff. And I think that I'm a pretty creative person. I also have a pretty heavy logic side to me. So for me, programming was kind of the perfect fit to do both. And I think that's a very good explanation because it's purely, you know, creating something. But it is pretty logical as well. But I would say it's more creative than anything.
Definitely. And, you know, we're living in the information age where kids younger and younger are taking their own initiative to figure out things that they didn't know before, looking up those tutorials and really trying to help themselves out, sometimes without the need of teachers or formal education on how to do some of these things, including coding. So I'd love to talk about the app that you have now that really does really put that into something material that kids can use to learn coding. So do you mind talking about that?
Yeah, of course. So we just launched an app. We launched in mid-October, so it's been out for a while. So it's following Cody Coder and Holly Hacker, our two characters, into the World Wide Web. So it's a series of 10 different islands, which are basically levels where kids can explore different HTML and CSS tags. So it's building their own website. So it's, you know, using an image source to take a picture of themselves, so use another kind of picture, put it in their websites, they personalize and customize it. And in the end, the parents can publish it and share it. So it's pretty cool.
So what are the average ages of the kids that are playing this app?
It's made for 6 to 8.
Wow, that's very, very young.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd like to know from you, how are you making this topic more accessible to children? It's a very complex process. I'm not sure if I could really get it too easily either. So how are you making it easy for children to understand?
So we're using stuff that kids are very already immersed in and very known to them. So it's a lot of gamification, a lot of game mechanics and storytelling. Our characters are very lovable and fun. So I think that those are kind of things that kids are exposed to on a daily basis with, you know, TV shows, and they are already on iPads with apps and all those other stuff and playing Angry Birds. So we're just trying to find out what is it that they love and what kind of entertainment are they using on a daily basis, and use that in the form of an educational value. And in this way, technology literacy. So that's kind of how we make them interested.
And you just mentioned technological literacy. What does that mean to you, and what trends are we seeing now more than ever with that literacy?
Yeah, so exactly. I think that programming is the only universal language. I think it's very important to kind of tell kids that this is a tool that they can create whatever they want their imagination to create with. But, you know, talking with parents, which we do pretty often, we see that there's also this trend amongst parents about, you know, what is quality screen time and what is good for kids and how many hours should they spend on their screens? Because, you know, we have been so fast forward in the development of technology, but we don't have enough research to really support what's good and what's not good and what really can happen with, you know, if is technology bad or is it good?
Right.
So we see a lot of trends amongst the parents being a little bit, you know, they want to create the safe zones. So that's something that we definitely want to do in the future. And we talked about a little bit, like, how can we be educational in the sense of not only teach out about code, but also about internet security and what happens when they go online and what they should think about. So I think that's very important to kind of have both the soft side and the more like the actual coding part of it.
Perfect. And the idea that it is an app, as many of us know who do have smartphones, the app industry is booming, and there are a lot of educational apps, however. So how are you distinguishing yourself and making a spot for you in that very, very large market of educational apps for kids?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, as I mentioned, is we are pretty heavily focusing for kids on being entertaining and then having the educational value kind of underlying the gaming and the storytelling that we have, so that we make it fun for the kids. Because I think that for them to be interested, they have to also be engaged. So that's our main focus, to really engage them in our apps and our books and whatever what we produce. We want them to be engaged because we think that the retention of them being engaged is really what will make and break the educational value of it. So we try to think from a child's perspective as soon as we go into conceptual kind of development part of our products. But of course, it's important to really have a good and thought through curriculum as well. But yes, it's a crowded market. It really is. But I think that what we're doing and putting coding and tech in this field, making it very easily understood for both the tech savvy parents and the non-tech savvy parents, is pretty unique.
So, and that's very true, that there is that thought that the parents definitely want to make sure that their kids are using something that's going to engage them and entertain them, but also be something useful. And I definitely agree that things like Angry Birds, other apps, are very entertaining, but sometimes we want to make sure that when our kids are using those types of technology, that they are exposed to things that are educational as well. So besides learning coding, what other skills do these children learn that's going to be very useful to them in their future?
I think one skill that is very that you don't think about is creativity. So kind of showing that you can dream big and think big and you can make pretty much everything happen. But also just like the basic knowledge of understanding what code actually is and that we are surrounded by it on a daily basis. I think that that's something that nobody's really teaching out. The kids don't really understand what it is. And often when we speak to young kids and talk about, you know, ask them questions about what is the internet, or what is a computer, for them, it's something that they don't really understand, because it's something that they are not, you know, nobody is really trying to teach that specific skill set or just the general knowledge of what it is.
Right.
So, and I think it's pretty important to understand that, just to know that this is how the world works.
Awesome. And before we go to our first break, do you mind explaining one more time what the name of this app is called so our listeners can go try to find it?
Of course. So our app is CodeQuest. So without a space in the middle. And they can find it on the iPad App Store. And the 17th, it's also on iPhone.
Perfect. And to all of our listeners out there, let us know what you think of this app. Go to Facebook.com/womeninvesting or use the Twitter #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Sana Nilsson, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And Sana, before we went to our break, and to our listeners out there, we talked about the app that is available, CodeQuest, for kids to learn about coding and what it takes to be a coder. And now I'd love to switch the conversation over to the book that you have out called My First Website. So Sana, would you mind explaining what your book is about?
Yeah, of course. So the book was a school project, and that was how we came to kind of learn more about this space and realize that there was really a gap in the market, that it was a need of more entertaining products that took up coding and technology in a very more entertaining way. So the book is about Cody Coder. He travels to the World Wide Web, where he builds a house out of his HTML tags. So it's a cute little story about Cody Coder and what it is, what internet is, and how it's correlating with HTML and what HTML is. So it's available. It's not interactive, so we're trying to now make it more interactive, going back to the book. Now we have the app out, but they are really a good complement to each other, the app and the book.
You love it. And doing some research on this, I found a title of an article by Business Insider that I like to share. It was, "If you want your four-year-old to be the next IPO billionaire, get him this book." And I thought that title was very interesting, and I'd love to know your reaction to this statement.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I didn't get a draft or anything of the article before it went out. So it was pretty insane when we saw the article. But I mean, sure, most of the IPO billionaires out there, take Mark Zuckerberg as an example. He started out coding when he was just a kid. I mean, most of the developers like Bill Gates and all those that have built great companies and changed how we look at technology and changed how we use technology, they started out when they were young. So I think they are great examples for, you know, what you can do if you just, you know, learn the tools of programming.
Right, right. And I definitely believe that the creation of this book signals a definite transition in the way that we're teaching our kids at an early age of different concepts. I'm only 17 years old, but I can easily say that a book that I read, it was called My First I Can Read. And now we have books at My First Website. These ideas of teaching kids coding from a young age were never conceivable just a few years ago. So are you excited to be living in a time and place that this is a reality?
Yeah, of course. I think it's super exciting. It's really our generation shift. And I think it's just going to change more and more. And we're seeing young kids already doing coding stuff. And there's a lot of articles out there about kids who are already changing the world because they get technology literacy in such an early age because they're basically born with an iPad, which was not the case for me. I've seen the transition into the world we live in today from the analog to the digital world, and I've seen every step of it because I've been in this position where I was born without a computer. There weren't really, you know, any computers. I had broadband, I think, when I was around maybe 9 or something. I remember the floppy disks that we used to actually play games on our PC. So I've seen it all. And I think it's pretty fun that we are seeing this transition into trying to equip the kids with the right skills so that they can keep on changing the world into the better.
Absolutely. And, you know, this book is a little bit different from an app. And like you said, it was not as engaging. And as we know, coding can be a little bit dry and hard to understand. So how are you able to make the book now more understandable for kids to follow and to understand the process of coding?
For us, it's using a lot of metaphors to kind of relate technology and programming into something that kids already know about so that it's not as tangible, because I think that the biggest problem is not that it's complex. I think it's more that it's a little bit fluffy. You know, you can't really see code. It's not something that we can touch or feel. And I think that is the biggest hinder for kids, especially the younger kids, for them to understand what it actually is. So a lot of metaphors and, you know, embedding it in stories is for us how we can make it less complex, because it doesn't necessarily have to be complex. I think that's a stereotype that we've had for a long time, and it's time to break it.
Definitely. And now I read a little bit of the book, and I could definitely sense that there's a theme of individuality and creativity that runs along the storyline of Cody Coder and how he wants to build a house out of code. So I thought that was very interesting. And I'd love to know from you, what types of underlying themes do you want children to get from this book?
It's just to spark an interest. It's not more than that. I think if we get them excited enough so they ask their mom and dad to be able to know more or learn more about this subject and want to immerse themselves more into the world of code, that's, for us, that's success. So we don't have like high hopes for the kids to go on directly to be developers or understand it directly, because it will take some time for them. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's more to spark an interest, because we believe that it's important that they understand it early on and that they create this interest so they can see what they can do with it as they grow up.
Definitely. Do you have kids of your own, Sana?
No, I don't.
Okay, I've got a 4-year-old now, and she's definitely getting this for her birthday tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. I'd like to know also how you approach having this book be appealing to girls now. As we know, there is a company called Goldie Blocks, and they're trying to make building blocks more interesting to girls as well, as opposed to Legos. And I'm sure that you know as well that different platforms trying to teach coding to kids often appeal to boys instead of girls, whether it's building robots or other things that are stereotypically for boys. So how are you able to engage girls as well into this conversation?
I mean, for us, it's pretty easy because we're 3 female founders. So I don't think, I mean, we're doing something that we would want to play with when we were kids ourselves. So I think and I hope that we're creating pretty gender neutral worlds in our products. But I mean, the first book is just about Coda Coder. That was our first character. And now we also have a girl, Holly Hacker, and she's super edgy and cool. So I really hope that that's something that girls can more relate to. Because of course it's easier for girls and boys to relate to different characters. And, we just speak with them a lot and trying to figure out what we can do to make both of the genders more, involved in it. But I mean, that's definitely something we have on our mind, when we do develop new products.
Right. And we also know that there is a lack of females in technology and in coding as well. So how do you hope that girls take this information they learn about coding and try to pursue a career in it, help to deserve their education and their knowledge on coding further?
I truly hope that a lot of the kids playing our games and getting an interest in programming at an early age understand that, you know, they can pursue this themselves. It's not necessarily something you have to do an education for. It's great if they do. But it's, you know, this is something that you really can do for whatever reason. I hope that there are more girls that go into technology because it's definitely a need. But I think that today there are so many stereotypes around programming and developers, which it's a little bit frightening to young girls that are thinking now of college and or are in high school. But hopefully, since we are aiming to a really young demographic, they don't really have built that stereotypical pictures of programming and developers. So we are hoping to be able to burst those stereotypes by showing them that it's, you know, it's very equal and it's a world where both girls and boys can be a part of. So hopefully they don't grow up with those stereotypes as we have, perhaps.
Right. We've talked to a lot of women and young women also that have been in the tech fields, and they say the same thing, that they truly just want to get rid of the stereotype because society creates that stereotype and it's not true. And being in technology fields is not just for boys. And like you said, there is a need. So I definitely believe that this book and this app will help create those interests in such a field. And I'd also like for our listeners to know, where can they find this book?
The book is actually not up on our website today because we are changing it a little bit. But we are getting it up as soon as possible. The app CodeQuest can be found on the App Store for iPhone and iPad. They should be expecting to see the book coming up in the beginning of the 2015.
Great.
In Sweden or in the US or both?
Both.
Awesome.
Awesome. I think you're going to have a wait list going on after the show goes up.
I hope so.
And once again, we do want to hear from all of our listeners. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
On-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our discussion with Sana Nilsson, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And before we went to our break, Sana, we talked about your incredible ideas and achievements with both the book and app, trying to teach kids how to code. And again, these are some awesome ideas, but it most likely needed some very creative financing. So we'd love to know how you got your start with the financing, and Anu will take the conversation from here afterwards.
Yeah, great. Love to tell you everything I know about that. how we started out, it was we were students, so going into being entrepreneurs for us was kind of, you know, an unknown field. But in Sweden, we have great support for entrepreneurs, especially from the governmental side. So we applied to a lot of the startup competitions here in Stockholm. And we won some, which also meant that we won some capital. So that's how we kind of came to start 100%. That was last year, end of last year. And I mean, it's been kind of a crazy road until like a crazy year. And I could talk about this for forever, but we have both governmental support from Sweden, and we also got accepted into the Techstars and Disney Accelerator. So we spent 4 months in LA this summer, which was also great.
In California?
Yes.
Awesome. And were you in Silicon Valley?
No, in LA. Their creative campus or headquarters is in Glendale.
Oh, fantastic. So when you go back to Sweden, until now, you know, your company just got started. How much have you raised until now?
So it's a little bit difficult because we have a Swedish company and we have an American company as well. So there's two different entities, but I won't go into why that's difficult. we have raised about 300,000, I think. So it's not that much money that we've raised so far. We've been able to have a pretty low burn rate, and we've been studying on the side to be able to get, we get governmental support to study here in Sweden, which is pretty awesome. So we've done kind of 200% for half of the year, and we started to take out a very small salary now this fall, and been able to sustain so far.
Fantastic. And I had noticed that you had gone on a crowdfunding campaign, and I wanted you to talk about a little bit about, you know, have you done this before, and how's it working out? What do you need? What are your challenges? If you can elaborate a little bit about what your strategy is there.
Yeah, so the crowdfunding campaign is actually a charity campaign more than it is that we're raising money for our company. So we've teamed up with Funded by Me, which is a Swedish site that does crowdfunding, both in terms of rewards, as we've seen on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. But they, what makes them unique is that they also do equity crowdfunding. So a company can do a crowdfunding campaign and raise capital and give out equity in return. So it's pretty unique in that sense. So we are doing a campaign with Funded by Me, to support girls with iPads filled with, programming material and inspiration to learn more about tech and really to inspire them to understand what it is. And as we spoke about, what they can do with it. So it's called Girl Boss, hashtag Girl Boss.
Love it.
And it's live for about 25 days, more on fundedbyme.com.
And how much are the iPads selling for?
So it's you can pledge as much as you like. We have different reward system. You can either pledge $10 if you want, or you can, as we've seen, there's a few companies that go on and be in our angel reward system where they actually go on and give out two iPads to two different girls. It depends on what you want to give to the kids, but it's 100% going into the iPads. It's just buying an iPad, we put in all the materials, and we ship them off to the girls and make sure that they get started and get excited.
And where are these girls, the recipients, located? Are they in Sweden? Or
it could be Yeah, it could be anywhere. We thought about it for a while just to keep it in Sweden. It's easier because we are both here funded by me and us. So we have had more push here in terms of press, etc. But anyone can pledge, and the recipient, you actually can go in and nominate a girl that you know or know of that would like to have this opportunity, and those can be in Sweden or anywhere else in the world.
So let's say someone on our show wanted to nominate a girl and they gave money for this rewards. Would it be guaranteed that the girl received it, or does it go into a pool, or can you just say, I would like my pledge to be for this girl?
No, it goes into a pool.
Okay.
So yeah, it depends on how many nominated we get in the end. We'll make sure that everybody, every of the girl gets some kind of, inspiration for getting more interested in tech, for sure.
Fantastic. Awesome. And then, you know, Disney Tech Stars, you will be coming back. And I did a little bit of reading on this, and it said that there's an award for $120,000, I think, for the selected. How did you find out about this program?
I actually read it in a magazine online when they just launched the press release that they were doing this accelerator, and I just thought, like, oh my God, this would be such an awesome opportunity for us. I love Disney, and we all do, especially when you are in the kids entertainment space. Disney's the biggest entertainment company, and I mean, if there's not Disney, I don't know who can help us to understand how to make our products even better for kids. So we just applied online, and we didn't think that we would get accepted, because we're just like a small team from Sweden, and we just started our company. So we thought we had all odds against us for coming into an accelerator like this, and to Disney. I mean, it's Disney. We were pretty surprised when we got accepted.
And do they do this every year? The Disney Accelerator or was this the first time that they launched something?
This was the first time, yeah.
Fantastic. And what were the other teams like? Were they from US mostly or all over?
It was mostly US. It was us from Europe, and then it was a team from Japan.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, so this is fantastic. And so your company, the one that you have now, your baby company in Sweden, are you intending to grow it out in Scandinavia, or what do you see the future of your company? Where do you see the future?
Yeah, I mean, we have so big ambitions. It's it's almost crazy how much we want to do in such a short amount of time. But then again, we've been able to, in 1 year, to start our Swedish entity, to start our American incorporated, to launch an app, to launch an ebook in just a year. So it's been pretty crazy what you can achieve if you just put your mind into it. So, I mean, we just want to launch more products. We're looking into now and doing concept development of our next apps and our next stories. So we're super, super excited about the future. But we will always have this base in Sweden where we can kind of pilot test to be able to know and go out into the US and to the rest of the world.
Awesome. Michelle?
Yeah, I definitely think I can definitely see why you're so excited to work with Disney. It has a huge influence in so many kids' lives. And I read that you also have the chance to work with animators too. Is that correct? What other resources do you have by working with Disney that you can help to progress your project?
So the resources that we had was that we could get feedback and help from the people working at Disney. So that was amazing to have that that expertise, and you were stuck in a problem or our developers were struggling with anything. We could always go over across the street, because we were sitting across the street from the Disney Creative Campus, and we would just knock on somebody's door and they will help us out. So that was it was such a great experience. experience to be there. And the employees and the execs of Disney were truly so helpful. It was almost heartbreaking to leave. We felt a little bit lost when the program was done. But we didn't get any help in terms of, you know, animators or developers. It was more strategic and help from Disney in itself, but not really to develop anything.
Okay. Well, we talk a lot about the importance of having a good network and being able to have mentors that helped you along the way. And I think that to have the help from a corporation like Disney is definitely, I would say it's definitely a help. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course. I would definitely agree.
Great. And we are going to continue this conversation after our next break. Once again, you're listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going to finish up our conversation, our great conversation with Sana Nielsen, as well as Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. And Sana, through your journey with creating your company, we do know that women do have a little bit more of a trouble trying to find venture capital and trying to fund their business ideas. And we'd love to know from you, do you have plans to aspire to be a venture-backed company in the future?
I mean, as I said before, we have so great ambitions in what we want to do, and to be able to do it, I think we need to get in some more external funding to be able to fast track. So, I mean, we need to hire a lot of developers, animators, and so forth, so that we can do more content. So I think that's pretty important for us. So yeah, we do aspire to be VC-backed.
Great. And you just mentioned that you do wish to have more content in the future. Do you mind sharing a little bit about possible projects that you'd like to be working on for the next coming year, things that you're excited about in the future?
Yeah, of course. I mean, something we're super excited about is to do the more soft stories, as I spoke about before. So doing interactive stories that are about internet security and the history behind the internet is pretty amazing. And I think it would be awesome to be able to explain that in a very fun and engaging way. But also going into other products where we discover different programming languages. So one thing that we really want to do, or something is like high on our radar, is for instance, to partner up with Apple to teach kids about Swift. So that's Apple's own programming language. So stuff like that, partnering up with the owners of different programming languages would be pretty amazing.
Right. And I definitely feel like that would also help those companies as well, because I'm sure they're also trying to tap into the market of having younger kids learn about technology and learn about coding. And to have that exposure through working with something like your app and through your book and the things that you're working on, I'm sure it'd be a great asset to them as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I know for sure that most of the bigger tech companies focus a lot on, you know, kids and technology or getting girls into tech. So we have Google started their Made with Code project, which they put in $1 million. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things going on in this particular space. So, I mean, we take a different approach. We don't do workshops or hackathons as most of those companies are more focused on. We are more focused on producing the content so that all kids can get an easy accessible exposure into tech.
Right. And to go along with that, taking into the consideration those ideas and teaching these kids the language of coding, how do you believe that you're changing the game on what technology and digital literacy is in our society and abroad?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's just making it accessible. I mean, today we have a lot of the different apps that are focusing more on logic. And they're great. I mean, we need more projects and more products like that. But we're taking a different approach. We're taking more the approach of having coding as a language. And I think that when you look at programming as a language, you can kind of convey it in other ways than has been done before. So, I mean, we see programming as the universal language. It's the language of the future. So that's kind of how we think that we can be a game changer.
Right. And, that knowledge is so important for these kids to have. But I'm sure that you know that there probably is some opposition. Some parents think that to have an app and an online book is trying to get their kids a little bit too much into technology, too much time on those different devices than playing outside or being a kid. So what types of things would you like to say to those parents who don't see the immediate value of teaching a kid about coding?
Would they rather have their kids playing a game or creating a game?
Awesome.
That's a great idea to have. Yes, definitely. And yeah. I think it's amazing that is a possibility, that kids can make their own games.
Yeah, of course. Anything is possible.
Awesome. And now I'd love to know from you, what advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs in technology?
Just to kind of find your role models, find your mentors, and just continue to be hungry and not be afraid. It's very easy, especially as girls and women, to not want to take the risks, but it's totally worth it. You don't want to wake up when you're gray and old and realize that you didn't take those risks, because those are the moments that you will regret rather than the risk that you took.
Perfect. And I'd also like to know from you, through your work in trying to get young girls also involved in coding and technology, what does investing in women and investing in girls especially, what does that mean to you personally?
It means a step in the right direction. Honestly, I think it's great to get more eyes on kind of that there's no difference between boys and girls, and it's still a lot of traditional values that are underlying how investors are thinking and how the society looks on different roles. So I think it's just it's a step in the right direction for becoming a more equal country and environment.
Awesome. And I'd also like to know, would you have seen yourself where you are right now a few years ago?
No, I don't think so. No.
And again, where would you like to see your company in the future? Where would you like to see your team in the future?
I would like to see our team to be growing, both in the US and in Asia. We think that Asia is super interesting space. But most and forward, when it comes to the product, we'd like to create kind of a community so that we give the kids a safe space where they can be totally immersed into tech. Because today with COPPA and all those other compliances, kids are not really completely allowed into the tech world. So we hope to be that for them.
Awesome. I don't think we highlighted this at all during the show today. Coda Rica, is that something new or has that been around for a while?
We started Coda Rica back in February.
Okay.
So not that long.
Great. Do you want to just elaborate on that just a little bit before we close the show?
Yeah, sure. So we started Coda Rica, and the name Coda Rica, people always ask about the name. It was our creative director that came up with the name, and we just fell in love with it because it sounded like a fun environment. It sounded like an adventurer's land.
I thought it was Costa Rica at first.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. But I think that's fun because don't you have really, like, when you say Costa Rica, don't you have just good connotations with that name?
Yeah.
I mean, it's adventurous. It's fun, right?
When I saw it online, I first thought of Dora the Explorer.
Ah, interesting. Right? I mean, we do hope that we can be what Dora the Explorer is for language, but for technology literacy. So,
cool.
So yeah, that's definitely something we're kind of trying to be, for sure.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you, guys.
Is awesome, and definitely encourage all of our listeners to go out and check the app and the online book as well. And they are great resources for your kids to have and really truly change the game on what it means to code. And it's not even put an age limit on that. So 5 and up. I think that's a great.
I think you and I need that, Michelle.
I think we need that too. And once again, go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. And let's use the #girlboss as well to promote all the fantastic things that you're doing as well, Sana. And thank you again for being a part of our show.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure was mine.
Awesome. And we'd like to thank all our listeners as well for listening in. Once again, this is Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by Kidstar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network. Kidstar Radio, we empower kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm. Now from the Kidstar Upload of the Month, here is the Whiz Pops and their song, Blue Wave. Oh, That was Whiz Pops from the Kidstar album of the month.